certainly do thank the Lord for that sweet prayer and for each of you's prayers on my behalf. I do have a confidence in you that you have prayed for me and have been praying for me, and that you will continue to do that as I stand before you this afternoon. I just rejoice that we have a place like Happy Creek Church that's a place where we can come out of this old world and sit together in, I believe, heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we can lift up our voices in praise and adoration of the Lord and come to hear from His Word and worship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful for my brethren, thankful for each of you, thankful for the work of grace in your life and in your hearts that's touched you and allowed you to know the things of God, to have even a desire to be here this afternoon. And I pray that the Lord will continue to work and move in your life in such a powerful way that you can't help but see His greatness and His power as you live in your lives. That dear, sweet, humble prayer shows the evidence of a work of grace, and the fact that we can hear it and pray with Brother Mike shows an evidence of the work of grace. And all of that honors and gives praise to the Lord. We don't lift up men here. We don't want to do that. Don't desire to do that. We want to encourage God's children. But we only want to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He is the one who's worthy of all praise and glory and adoration, more than we could ever give Him. I do believe that'll be the activity of heaven, don't you? That we'll be able there to really, in fullness, praise our Lord. What we know in part, there will be known in full. We know in part now, but when that which is in its perfect is come, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And when the Lord returns, we'll be made in fashion like unto Him, body, soul, and spirit. And in heaven, we'll be able to offer perfect praise unto the Lord. Down here, we cannot do that in and of ourselves. Our very best efforts are imperfect and filled with things that are not right before God. But we've been made accepted in Jesus Christ and made accepted in the Beloved, so that we should be encouraged to come. We should be encouraged to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy because of Jesus, acceptable in His sight. And that is our reasonable service, to do that. What we're doing this afternoon is not unreasonable. Some people might consider it to be unreasonable, but it's not. The world would always consider it foolishness, for the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. We have to have a spiritual mind. We have to be made spiritual. We have to be born again. We have to be regenerated. We have to be made alive before we can truly worship the Lord or appreciate the things of the Lord. As we've often said, all mankind should praise the Lord, but all mankind will not praise the Lord unless the Lord first works in us. If I have a subject matter on my mind this afternoon, it is that: praise ye the Lord, to give God the praise and the honor and the glory. And you know, once you mention that, you know where I'm probably going is to the Psalms, where again and again we're told so many times over and over again in the Psalms, praise ye the Lord. Many of the Psalms begin with that statement and almost with that title. This is one of them, Psalm 113. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I know we've spoken on this many times before, but after being in one place for 40 years, it's not going to be very likely that I ever get in the stand and talk about a whole lot that I hadn't at some point talked about before. But I hope and pray it will be what we have said before, if it is the gospel that we've said before. Because the truth of the gospel is what I hope and pray we can talk about today. If my heart's desire is that I would be able to have a tongue of utterance, to preach unto you as I ought to, and to speak unto you as I ought to, of the wonderful good news of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't talk about that too much. We can't tell God's children that enough. That's the words that we're told to comfort ye my people. Saith your God, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, not to spare, but to cry unto her that a warfare is accomplished, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her iniquities. That is, that God's little children have been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus came into this world, that Jesus died, that Jesus paid the sin debt, that he fulfilled the will of the Father. He came down from heaven to save his people from their sins, and that's exactly what he has done. And today we gather here in this little building for that purpose, to praise and honor and thank him for what he has done for us. Psalm 113 says, praise ye the Lord, praise O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifted the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. And then again he says, praise ye the Lord. He begins and ends this psalm in the exact same words, praise ye the Lord. That is, ye, all of us together, we're to do this together. We are to do it individually, but we're also to do it collectively. We're to do it as a body. We're to do it as God's little children that have been called out of nature's darkness unto his marvelous light. Over in the book of 1 Peter and chapter 2, the Apostle Peter writes here at verse 4, speaking of Jesus, he says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. This afternoon we come to praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come to him out of need. We come to him begging him to be with us and bless us. We come here to offer thanksgiving for all that he's already done for us. And oh, how great things he has done. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 said, he's disallowed indeed of men. Men don't regard him as anything beneficial. I would think those would be foolish who felt any need of Jesus. Oh, but I believe the Lord has touched your heart to make you aware and understand more than what the world could have taught you and told you, that I need him. I need the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to guide me. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to be my light. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to be my strength. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to be my counselor. I need him to be that friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, right, Brother Terry? I need him in every aspect, in every area of my life. There are too many uncertainties in this world. There's too many things I don't know about. Too many things going on I have no control over. Too many things that I would just be in despair today and be overwhelmed. There are times I get in despair and get overwhelmed, but it's not because I'm believing at that time, it's because I'm ceasing to believe. And what I want to encourage you is to be resting and enter into that rest that is there by believing and trusting in the Lord. Over in the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul writes that there remaineth a rest unto the people of God. And that rest is found when we by belief enter in to that rest. We labor to enter into it by trusting and leaning upon the Lord. And he says, we come to him as unto a living stone. He is that rock that we can build our lives upon. His word has been given to us to guide us and direct us. And as we take his word and put it into application in our lives, as he said unto us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, as he tells us there in Matthew 11. As we do that, and we apply what the Bible teaches, which is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we find rest in this old troubled world, even when we don't know the answers, even when things don't really seem to get better in a natural way. You know, I think of all the things we faced this year. In many ways we could look at it and think this has really been a tough, difficult year. But really, if you get right down to it, you look at the year before that, and we could have said it's been a tough, difficult year. And the year before that, we could have said that over and over again. Really, all the days of our lives have been difficult in many, many ways. But what has made it better, or what has helped us, or what has been our strength in all of that trouble, in all of those problems? It's been the Lord who has dealt with us and been with us through all of those troubles. I think of many things that we've gone through in the past year, and I can just see the evidence of the power of God right with His little children. Otherwise, they wouldn't have held up. They wouldn't have been able to handle it. Now look at what's coming this year, and a lot of uncertain things are in front of us. A lot of things that would cause us not to be restful and be concerned. And as we grow older, we're finding ourselves less and less able to handle so many of those things. But where can we go today to find peace? Where can we go to find rest? Where can we go to find help and mercy and grace for us in this time of need? We go to the same place Brother David went to. We go to the same place that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the Old Testament saints. So the same place the apostles went. We go to that one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, who changes not, who showed us so much love that He sent His only begotten Son here into this world. His Son loved us so much that He came and He willingly died on the cross. He took my sins and our sins collectively in His own body, and there at Calvary paid the sin debt for us and washed us in His own precious blood. He loved us with an unconditional, everlasting love even before the foundation of the world. And it was His love that sent Him here into this world. And it was mercy that He showed unto us in calling us out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light and giving us a place like this little church and other little sister churches round and about us, where in a troubled world that is just like a desert. You go out there in this world to try to find help, and there's so many people on every corner hollering out, peace, peace, and there is no peace, and that they'll help you, and they're really not there to help you. And there is no help anywhere else to be found in this world but in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody might say, well, I've gotten help from other directions. I want you to know if it's been help and true help for you. The Lord is the one who's provided that, even when we haven't known that's where it was coming from. Everyone who's ever helped me, and there have been many people, the Lord's given to me many sources, many manifold blessings, many ways that His grace has come to me in my life. My life has been filled with friends that gave me a word at a time of need that was just spot on, that I know could not have come, even if they didn't know it, from anywhere else but the Lord. And I've had that happen in my life over and over again. And I recognize today that that's come to me because of the Lord and what He's done for me. That gives me hope and encouragement as we face this new year with all its uncertainties. Whatever it is that we might face, that we have a God who's greater than all of our troubles and all of our problems. We have the one who made this world, who spoke it into existence, who made this beautiful planet that we live on, who made the beautiful mountains that we look, who may just tonight, if He sees fit, cover this whole world in a blanket of white. And He can do that in a moment, or He could cause it not to be. We can make predictions and say what we think, but God doesn't think, He doesn't predict, He speaks, and it's done. And that's the God that we're looking to for whatever we stand in need of this day. That's the God we're looking to this moment for whatever I need as I stand before You. That's the God that I want to come today and praise. I want to lift up my voice in thanksgiving to Him. I want to say, oh Lord, Thou hast been so good to me. Thou hast been so merciful, so gracious, so loving. God forbid that I do anything but trust in Thee. If it's good times or if it's bad times, if it's good health or if it's bad health, whatever it is that I face in this world, Lord, keep me faithful, that I might trust in thee and lean upon thee and praise thy name. To praise his name is to brag on it. You know, sometimes we brag on a lot of things that are not worthy to be bragged on. I'm telling you, when we praise the Lord, we're praising one who's worthy to be praised. Y'all believe that? I believe our Lord is worthy to be praised, don't you? I believe he deserves our thanks for saving us, for coming where we were in the dust and the dunghills of this world and lifting us up by his grace and putting our feet upon a rock, putting a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God, and giving us brethren and sisters to have fellowship with and friends with. The friends of this world will be with you when things are going well, but when things turn the other way, usually when all of the good things leave, all of the friends go with them. You look around and you find yourself so, so very alone. I think about that prodigal son who was at his father's house and had all the benefits and blessings of his father's house, but he wasn't satisfied. Sometimes you and I aren't satisfied when we should be. God has been good to us, and we should learn to be content in whatever state we're in. And all we have to do that is do what the hymn writer said, count your blessings. You name them one by one. You start thinking about how good the Lord's been to you, what he's provided for you, how good he's been in our homes and our families, how good it's been to live in the United States of America with all of its problems. I'm telling you, we've been so richly blessed to have a place in my life where the Lord's church, the place he's put in this world to honor and praise him and for his little sheep to come in and feed, and to be able to have in the majority of my life a place to be able to come to worship him just like we are today. Just be able to lift up our voices in praise. When our loved ones pass, to have ministers who preach the truth, to give us comfort in our hearts about where our loved ones had gone to, that we might know the truth. Listen, the truth is the truth whether you and I know it or not. But oh, what a blessing it's been for me to know it. What a blessing it is that God has allowed me to have an understanding of that, and I have some rest in my life about that. To know that our loved ones who passed are not just gone nowhere. They're with the Lord and they're happy and there's rejoicing in heaven. You want to know where praise is really happening right now? Around the throne of God. There's the voices of the angels. There's the voices of the saints praising God and honoring him. Praising the one who's seated on the right hand of the Father, who's there to make intercession for us and has done a finished work. And he's high and lifted up. He's exalted in the heavens. That's the Son of God who walked here on the shores of time and showed us how much he loved us by coming into this earth and lifting us up out of the dust and out of the dunghills. There would have been none of us who would have been able to get ourselves to heaven or to do enough to get ourselves to heaven. And for us to even to try to do that is to do despite to the truth. It is to bring a reproach to the name of our Savior. Because our Savior has paid the sin debt and paid it in full. And that's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to share with God's people. He says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. In the sight of his Father he was precious. Remember the words of heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that was the words of the Father to the Son every day that he lived. And because of that, he was that Lamb of God that was without spot and without blemish, who offered himself a perfect sacrifice for the sin of his people and made us accepted in that finished work. He says in verse 5, as we come and meet today, he says, ye also as lively stones. Now, I look over you and I don't see you in a literal sense as lively stones, but you're alive and you have been made alive by the Lord. You are new creatures in Christ. You've been born of his Spirit. You've been given a tongue that's able to praise him. You've been given faith that's able to believe in him. You've been given love that's able to love him. You've been given the fruit of the Spirit that you bear in your life. And as lively stones, those that have been hewn out by the Lord himself, those who he has worked on, he says, as lively stones, we are built up a spiritual house. We gather together here as a body of believers, those who've been born again by the Spirit of God, Those who come to worship the Lord, we've built up a spiritual house. It's not the natural house that's under consideration. Here, when we talk about the church, we're not just talking about the physical building. As a matter of fact, we're really not talking about the physical building. That's the meeting house. The church is God's little children that have been hewn as lively stones by the Lord. And they're built up a spiritual house. They've been called out. They're a called out assembly. An ecclesia, a called out assembly. And they gather to worship the Lord. That's what we do. And as we do that, we gather as one body. As the body of Christ and as believers together, we gather for the purpose of praising the Lord. We are a spiritual house. It's a work of Almighty God. When you see the Lord's church, we're not to give men the praise for that, or said men have kept it. If it had been left up to men to keep it, it would have been gone a long time ago. The Lord said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He's the one who keeps this place and has kept it down through the years. And that is true of every old Baptist church, every church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is the... When did it begin? It began with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one who's built it. And He will keep it here in this world until He comes again. That doesn't mean every individual particular church, but He will not leave Himself without a witness here in this world. Aren't you thankful for that? That's a truth we can stand on. And we ought to be praising the Lord for that very truth. He says that you are a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Holy in that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, separated by the work of Almighty God, and a priesthood. That means we have been made able to offer up sacrifices of praise unto the Lord. That's what we did when we joined together in singing. That's what Brother Mike did when he went to the Lord in thanksgiving and prayer. And we did as we went with him in prayer and prayed together. It's what we're talking about now. As we live our lives, we're to praise Him. Praise Him as we meet here, but praise Him also as we walk out in this world. He says that we offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. How could a spiritual sacrifice be? How could it be acceptable to God? It would have to be perfect. Well, it's acceptable in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acceptable to God, He tells us that, by Jesus Christ. That is the Savior, the Anointed One. He says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded." That is, he'll not be ashamed. No, thank the Lord that we have Him. We can praise Him and acknowledge all of that. He said, "Praise ye the Lord." Back over to Psalm 113, he says, "Praise, O ye servants of the Lord." The servants of the Lord are those He's called out, those He's quickened. They are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a purchased people. Again, over in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people." And why are we here? What's our reason for existing in this world? What's our lives all about anyway? He says that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. If any of these things that I'm saying to you this afternoon make any sense or mean anything to you at all, it's because the Lord is the one who has awakened you by His grace. Otherwise, they'd simply be foolishness in your ears, and you'd have no desire or concern for them. You know, there are times that they mean so very, very much to me. There are other times it seems I've gotten cold towards those things. And when I do that, I pray, "Lord, warm my heart so that I might feel the need of thy closeness and thy presence, O Lord. Warm my heart that my zeal might grow, that I would want to praise thee more and more." Enjoyed going to the meeting this morning, enjoyed the meeting yesterday, and thank the Lord for the meeting this afternoon. But I'm already looking forward to the next meeting, looking forward to the next time where we can come together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. He says, "Praise the name of the Lord." And oh, when I think about the wonderful name of the Lord, we have God the Father. The Lord our God is one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And worthy to be praised is our God. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Look over in the Ephesian letter in chapter 1. We'll turn there. Ephesians chapter 1. He says for us there in verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This is a blessing that we're to give the Lord. When we think of the Lord blessing us, that's easy to understand how the Lord blesses us. He has everything that we stand in need of, and we need everything, and He blesses us by supplying unto us those things that we don't have. But how in the world can we bless the Lord? How can we bless the Lord? Well, this is not talking about blessing Him and giving Him something He doesn't have, because He has it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the one who, all fullness comes from Him. He's the one who doesn't need anything from us. But we're to bless Him by lifting up our voices in praise to Him. That's pleasing to Him. When He says to bless Him, it is that we to praise Him. In other words, praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. We praise Him because He hath blessed us. We don't want to forget all of His benefits. Remember, Psalm 103 says that, I believe. He says there in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And those benefits, He daily loads us with those benefits. We have benefits in the past. We talked about them a little bit. We have benefits every day. The Lord is daily with us, supplying just what we need for the hour and for the moment. He goes on in that book of Ephesians. He says, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That means every blessing that I've received spiritually came from the Lord. I didn't do it in order to get into Him, because I was in Him and chosen in Him because of what He had done for me. I have received the wonderful blessings, the spiritual blessings, and all of those blessings we receive are in heavenly places in Christ. I know it may be hard for some to believe, but we are in a heavenly place whenever we can meet and worship the Lord. Even when two or three are talking about the Lord, you can be riding down the road and communicating about the Lord, or on the phone, or on a Zoom meeting, or whatever it is, and we're talking about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord. It's a heavenly place. It's a place lifted up from this world. And we need that as we live here in time. And He says, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Isn't that something to praise Him for today? Because He made choice of us. Why of all the people in the world would the Lord choose any of us? Well, He did it because He saw fit to. He chose to. It was His good pleasure to. Our God is in the heavens, Psalm 115 says, and He had done whatsoever He had pleased. And He had chosen His children. And He chose them because He loved them. And He loved them because He wanted to love them. He chose to love them. He has an eternal love for them. He has an unconditional love for them. And nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That tells us that we didn't have anything to do with getting in that choice. It was done before the foundation of the world. Some would say He chose you because you were going to choose Him. No. If He had not chosen us, we would have never chosen Him. Because we wouldn't have received Him. We wouldn't have loved Him. Wouldn't have had any desire for Him. But He chose us. And we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We didn't have anything to do with that. It was His sovereign choice. And He did that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He's washed us in His own blood that we might be acceptable to Him. That you and I might come this very afternoon and praise Him and honor Him and thank Him and give Him the honor and the glory that's due His name. That's why He said praise the Lord and to bless the Lord and to honor Him and to glorify Him. He said bless the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. That means all the time. And then He says from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. That verse sounds like it's talking about time, but Verse 2 is talking about time. Verse 3 is talking about everywhere you are. From the rising of the sun, can you see when it would come up, to the going down of the same. In other words, all the way over here, the Lord is to be praised. And all the way over there, the Lord is to be praised. And everywhere in between, the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord is to be praised. And who is it that is to praise Him? The servants of the Lord, the children of the Lord, the born-again believers, those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're the ones that ought to be lifting up our voices in praise and adoration unto the Lord. He says, for the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. The Lord that we serve is so great and wonderful that we could never praise Him enough. I read about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ teaching us, as the Apostle Paul was teaching us, about how to be humble. He used the example of how the Lord walked here on the face of the earth in His humility. He said in verse 3 of chapter 2 of the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, who taught us how to do that better than anyone else? Our Savior did. He came before us and walked. The one who spoke this world into existence humbled Himself and took upon Himself a body of flesh and came and lived in this world. And walked in such a way that He taught us by example how it is we ought to walk. And He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And that means we're to be mindful of one another. We're to be mindful of the Lord and we're to praise the Lord. But in order to praise the Lord, we also have to be mindful of the Lord's people. And remember to live and act in a way that He would have us walk, that we might bring with our lives glory and honor and praise to Him. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, He's telling us there's a power that's working in us that we can have the same mindset to some degree that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That tells us that Jesus Christ, would not have been robbery for Him to think of Himself as being equal with God, because He was God. But rather than come in that way and manner, He came and humbled Himself. Notice what it says in the next verse. It says, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Why did Jesus come and why was He made in the likeness of men? So that He might die for us, that He might come where we were, and that He might provide the sacrifice that would be acceptable unto the Father. And He humbled Himself to do that. The great and the high God of heaven, Jesus the Son of God, left the wonders of heaven and came here and walked in this earth and walked among men and suffered and lived a life that was perfect and without spot and without blemish. But it was he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And He lived that life perfectly before us. And showed us how we ought to live. He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I think of the verse that says, here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's what Jesus did. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. How high is His name? His name, the name of Jesus. The hymn writer said, oh, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. I hope and pray that's the case for you this afternoon. That precious name of Jesus, we can't sing it too much, we can't talk about it too much. How wonderful, wonderful is His name. He shall be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God, the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. He says, the Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Back over into Philippians 2, He says that at the name, wherefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, that's what we're here today to say over and over again, that Jesus is Lord. And He is Lord. We just declare it and say it over and over again to the comfort and edification of the Lord's people. Verse 5 says, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbled Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth." You know, the Lord condescends to even look upon us at all. And when I think about how He's dealt with me and all that I've done wrong and all the things that I've done in my life that I wouldn't want anybody else to know, and yet the Lord knows all about them, every one of them in detail. And yet He condescended. He came to where I was and He loved me enough to move in my life, give me a want to and a desire to do things I would have never wanted to and never desired. How wonderful He's been to me. And He's deserving of the praise and the honor and the glory. He says He humbled Himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lift the needy out of the dunghill. Aren't you thankful that He can reach the poor? Aren't you thankful He can reach the needy? Aren't you thankful He's that powerful of a God? What if it be we had to reach up to Him, as so many in the world says you've got to make the first move towards God? What if that was the truth? Then there would be no possibility for any of us to have had any hope of ever being with Him in glory. But because of what He's done for us, we have a sweet hope in our hearts that at the moment we die, even in this world, that we'll be carried out of this old troubled world to be with the Lord. We'll see the Lord in His glory and really understand how good He's been to us. I sometimes wish I could just say it like I feel it. And sometimes I make the effort to do that and I feel like I'm falling so far short of doing that. I want you to know I'm trying the very best I can to tell you how great a Lord we have. How good and how wonderful He's been to us. How much His love has been shown to us. And how that love will never be separated from that. And you can trust in Him in this world as you live along life's way. And you have problems and difficulties and trials. He'll be that great physician that's right there with you. He'll be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll be the one that will be there to talk with you when everybody else has gone another direction and another way. He knows what it's like to feel what you're feeling because He has been in all points tempted like unto us and yet without sin. So when we come to Him, we come to one who knows not only as God, but He also understands as the perfect man what we're going through. And He's able to supply and will supply unto us, His children, just what we need for as long as we're here in this world. And when it comes time to leave this old world, He'll carry us home to be with Him. Is that a reason to praise Him? Is that a reason to leave our homes and come out to meet in the house of God to worship Him? Is that a reason to call upon Him as you're in trouble in this world? Listen, if you got a problem, you got a trouble, He said to come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And He said, I'll give you rest. And then He's told us He'll take, to, as we learn of Him, take His yoke upon us and learn of Him. He's meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest unto your souls. And we ought to be praising Him and thanking Him for all that He's done for us. He raised up the poor out of the dust and He lifted the needy out of the dunghill. And where does He take him? He says that He may set him with princes, even the princes of His people. I believe that down through the years I've been able to live among the princes of His people in the Lord's church. Oh, they weren't high and mighty as the eyes of the world would look upon them. Most of them were the poor and needy. Most of them were looked at as maybe the kind of the off-scouring or not those that aren't so, you know, not the rich and famous. Like Brother Joe said yesterday, I think it was him who said, you look at God's people and you won't see very many of them who live the lifestyle of the rich and famous, quote unquote. Most of them have been among the poor of the world. And that's been the lot of most of God's children. But I'll tell you, they haven't been poor in a spiritual sense. They've been rich. I think the dear old saints that I've known in my life, though they didn't have a whole lot of maybe of this world's goods, they were rich in the love of God. They were rich in faith. And when they faced things and troubles in this world, they had a strength that the rest of the world didn't have. Isn't it good to know that the Lord will not leave us when we're going through troubles and problems, but He'll supply just what we need. You can't get enough money to take care of all of that. But if you have the Lord, you have the one who owns everything. Who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And all, should we not be praising Him and thanking Him for that? That He may set Him with the princes, even with the princes of His people. You can be in no higher place than when you're gathered with a little portion of God's children to worship the Lord. We're dependent upon the Lord. We're dependent upon Him for the preaching. We're dependent upon Him for the singing. We're dependent upon Him for the fellowship. We're dependent upon Him for the love that we need to love one another. We're dependent upon Him for everything. And the good news is, He's the one who supplies all things that we stand in need of. He says He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. I look at this verse and I think of the Lord's church. What the Lord's church is. The Lord's church is a joyful mother. She's a joyful mother of children. She's a barren woman. The Lord's church can't make children. Some people in the world think that's the purpose of the Lord's church, is to go out and make the children of God. The church doesn't make the children. The Father makes the children. The Father is the one. He said, it is He that has made us and not we ourselves. He's the God of heaven makes His children. He's the one who borns them again. He's the one who finds them and knows. He doesn't find them in a sense. He knows where they are. He knows each and every one of them. And at His appointed time, He quickens them and He makes them alive. The church can't make them alive. The church is a barren woman. But she's a joyful mother. What does that mean? That means this is a place where God's little children are to come to find comfort and find rest and find peace and find joy. She feeds the Lord's people. How does she feed them? With the food the Father has provided. The bride doesn't provide the food. The Father provides the food. But the bride delivers that. And the ministry preaches what the Lord lays upon their heart. And he teaches what God gives him to teach. And she's a joyful mother. It's a joyful thing. It's a joyful sound when we feel the Lord's presence. We can't just turn this on. It has to come from the Lord. But she's a joyful mother of children. He says, He maketh that barren woman to keep house and be a joyful mother of children. Isn't it wonderful when we can gather together as a family? It is a family. And we as a church collectively are individually acting as a mother, so to speak, to each individual member. And as each individual member, we look to the church as our mother in the sense that the Lord has provided her for us here in this world to help direct us while we're here in this world. She did not give us life. The Lord gave us life, but she feeds us and comforts us and clothes us. And where does she get all that from? She gets it from our Heavenly Father, our husband. And that's all the praise and all the honor and the glory belongs to the Lord. And that's why he closes just like he began in this psalm. He says, praise ye the Lord. And I pray that the Lord will bless us to do that better. We do that as we meet in an assembly of believers, but we also do that as we go out into the world and live our lives. If our church only ends, if our life with in our fellowship with the Lord just begins and ends as we come into the house, then we're missing it. It's a false, it's not true, it's not real. We carry what the Lord has given us in our hearts out into this world, and we take it with us on the job in our families so that we act the things out in our life in a way to honor and glorify and praise the Lord. Our religion shouldn't just be when things are going good, but when things are going difficult, it's when we really want to be able to look to the Lord and find the strength that we need for that difficult time, so that in the face of troubles and problems, we respond in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Not only when things are going well, but when things are going difficult. May the Lord bless us to do that to His honor and His praise and His glory. And I appreciate your kind attention this afternoon. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.